Was it safe to say I love you in your family growing up? No, seriously, I wanted to ask you this question on today's podcast episode. It's been a while. I am recovering from COVID. I had a small, minor case of it. So I'm really thankful that it wasn't anything severe. I actually felt cold symptoms. I thought it was, I thought I caught a cold from our daughter. So when I was like tending to her, I didn't think it was COVID because we rarely go anywhere. She rarely goes anywhere. If anybody goes to places, it's me. It's pretty much I go to, you know, my usual places, working out, Target, and Trader Joe's, and Costco. So I didn't even equate, and we've always been cautious and things like that when all got vaccinated. But nevertheless, it hit the home, and what I thought was a cold, when actually all of us got tested, and so it turned out to be positive. So I was like, oh my gosh, what? So actually I'd had it for a few days, just kind of felt more like a virus. Well, it is a virus. Not really like cold symptoms. So nevertheless, all better. So grateful. Wasn't anything super severe. Very, very grateful for my health. It really allowed me to see how grateful I am to be healthy, you know. Even on day, I started walking, going out, because I love, y'all know, if you don't know, you know now, I love going outside. I love going outside. I love going for walks. It just, I feel better. I just love it. I love outside. And so, even on the days when, like day three, like I said, the first day was like, when I started feeling the symptoms, I was like, something's up, something's not regular. And so when I started walking for Monday, and that's when I noticed my body was like weaker than usual. And so when one of us decided to get tested for COVID and they tested positive, I thought to myself, okay, well, if they tested positive, then, you know, I just had the rest of us test. And then it turned out that my daughter and I were the ones that were infected too. But actually it was my daughter who caught it first. So long story, we are all good. Still throws a little little dry, but no major symptoms at all. Super grateful for that. That has not been the story for everyone, you know. And so I don't take that lightly. So for me to be here sharing this with you, I don't take that for granted, because it could have been worse, you know. And even though I am a healthy person, my immune system is well. I do my best to take care of myself. You know, all the things, you know, not 100%, but I pretty much, for overall, I take care of this body for the most part. So I'm just grateful, because it could have, you know, we don't know. I don't know, but I'm just grateful that it didn't. And so here I am, and I wanted to share, this with you guys as, I share on this Saturday afternoon with you. I actually am feeling, if I could say percentage wise, how am I feeling? I am feeling 96% well. I really am 96% well. I'm good. So feeling very grateful. Sitting in my office, on my wonderful couch, got my, the system plugged up, ready to record this podcast, and I'm all juiced up and ready to go. So you guys remember when I asked earlier, the question. So we're back focusing on, healing marriages, healing the matters of the heart. And, God took me on the route of
really understanding this and what that truly means, and how I went on my own journey and God began showing me exactly what that meant, exactly what that means. And I wouldn't really even say exactly. It really, just as I'm learning, as I go, things reveal to me. And when I learn from something, something is revealed to me, I share it as I've shared with you guys before. And I love sharing stuff. I love helping people. But I recognize that I have to help me first. It has to be true for me first. But I don't let it sit for long, meaning that if I have something good, or if I know that I'm supposed to share this, then I'll share it. So oftentimes it is vulnerable, and I'm okay of leaning into the vulnerability. I'm okay with it. And I know it helps people. So I read your emails, and I'm grateful just to be able to share it. I remember trying to find the answers, and I remember, you know, it helps when we help each other. It does. And so I'm just sharing as I go. I do not claim to know all the answers. Absolutely not. I do not know your personal situation. I don't know what's going on in your marriage. I don't know what's going on inside of you. But I do know that God is able. And I don't say that lightly. I remember I used to hear this because I grew up in church all my life. And I remember I used to hear that. And it's not that I didn't agree with them. It was more so it was just something that I heard. It's not like I didn't believe them, but it was more, I didn't understand the depth of it until it became personal in my life. And so for me to say that God is able, that's exactly what I mean. So it is really my desire that in my transparency, that as I share with you my message of healing, that it really will bring about a enlightenment for you, a sense of joy, a sense of a hope and possibility that you can say, wow, if this happened in this lady's life, surely this can happen with me. So I do one-on-one coaching, and I also help people walk through their path on these podcasts. So I thank you for tuning in, you know. You definitely can write me if you have any questions, if you want to chime in, if you have any questions, if you want to have any questions on the show, if you want me to share about any topics, you definitely can email me. You can reach out to me on my website, cammyknight.org, or my email, ahigherlove. So it's the letter A, higherlove@cammyknight.com. That's my email. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. So y'all know how to reach me. So those are my platforms. So I want to dive in and ask this question, right? So I'm going to ask the question again. Was the word "I love you" comfortable in your household? Did you feel safe? Did you feel safe to say "I love you" in your household? Because I really do believe that directly impacts you as an adult, how you felt when it came to expressing or saying "I love you," and not necessarily saying "I love you," but actually feeling love. And I think also saying "I love you" does bring about, to feel it and to say it, for some people who have not experienced that, it brings about a sense of safety. It brings about a sense of comfortability, and it allows a child to feel safe. It allows a space of acceptance. So I'm gonna just share with you guys my experience I did not, when I think of the word I love you growing up in my household, that wasn't said a lot. There was a lot of fear around love in my household. Now, a lot of fear, a lot of fear, a lot of being afraid to love, a lot of being afraid to lose. My parents, I mean this with all humility, my parents had some wounds of abandonment, some wounds of neglect and childhood trauma that I saw as adults that they did not heal from. So from my experience growing up, when I think of my father, when he would say, I've heard him say a couple of times, I love you. And I always felt uncomfortable when he would say it. I felt safe with my father around to a certain extent, meaning that I knew that my father would never, ever in a million years ever hurt me. ever. There was no question, none. But I knew that my father did not feel safe in his body because the little boy in him was not healed. And so that's what I felt as a child from my father growing up. My mom, from my experience, was extremely traumatized from her past experiences. So when it came to love, it was something that she was always afraid of. When it came to love, it was always from a place of something that she was afraid of. I've always felt the fear of losing it. One more time, the fear of losing it. The fear of losing it. I'm going to say that again because that's really important. The fear of losing it. And so whenever it came to love, it was a place of not feeling safe because she did not feel safe in her body. Oh, that's so good. That's so good. So even though I knew that there was love in the home, what I felt that was dominant in the home were those wounds, was that fear. Excuse me if you guys hear some noise in the background. I have neighbors and it's very breezy where I am right now, so I don't want to close the window. So what I mean by that is from that's what I experienced from my parents. Yeah. So I was, and then I became afraid. It came more from a stance of like being on guard to love. Their advice that I remember experiencing and seeing, you know, you're a girl, and it was fear. You're a girl, and then you're pretty, and then you have long hair, and then you have boobs, and you have a butt. So you're really like in harm's way. And you know, I have to protect you out of fear, out of danger. It was just a lot of things I remember fighting against and being very rebellious in a sense of resisting a lot because it was too much of be this way. This is a safer route. But it felt like I was dying. It felt like I was suffocating. It felt like I was dying and it felt like I was suffocating. Can you imagine? And I had many different outlets that I can remember growing up. You guys, hold on one second. Excuse me, y'all. I had many different outlets. That was me closing the window. Sorry, y'all. I had many different outlets that I can remember growing up in and having a wonderful babysitter who was loving unconditionally. And this lady was God sent. I can remember having an aunt who loved me unconditionally, and I remember feeling safe with her. I also remember feeling, once again, safe with my babysitter. She was a God-sent earth angel because I remember being around her never feeling unsafe. I always felt loved from her. I always felt safe with her. I always felt that. And that was the seed that was planted because I didn't feel that at home. Once again, this is not to blame anyone. This is strictly coming from a place of just being aware. And so that was my experience. That was my experience of love growing up. So I asked you a question once again. What did it feel like when were you free to say I love you? Did your parents say I love you in the home freely? And how did that make you feel? Was that like a norm? Did you feel love? Did you feel safe in your environment? When it came to expressing your love, when it came to saying I love you, how did that feel? Did it feel awkward? Did it feel like, huh, okay. Was it the norm for you? I really do believe that that is important, how we saw love growing up, because that based out of those experiences, this is what we unconsciously say to ourselves about love. And I went on the journey within my marriage to unlearn and unpack and unheal those wounds. And the different route that God had me on assignment wise was that I was to reconcile and show up differently in love to heal from that stuff. So our children won't repeat the same cycle that I experienced and believed about love. That all of that, those subliminal messages and all of that stuff that was showing up that I just mentioned to you, that was showing up in our marriage. And I wasn't even fully aware that I was afraid to love. It's like I knew, like I felt it, but I didn't know the destruction or the hindrance. I'll say more the hindrance that it was creating. Once again, this is not to blame. This is all about awareness, about being mindful. And so when I think about now that my eyes are open and whenever I hear the word, I love you, I pause, especially within my marriage, I have to pause or like there's a vulnerability part of me that pauses and says, my route, I went on the journey, that was very painful. And that journey was through separation. We went on the journey of our own path. And as we divided and went on our own path, then that's when God began doing the healing process and the healing work within me and began showing me the many different wounds and layers that I picked up as a child. And one of the things that brought to my awareness was the word, I love you. And I remember there would be times when I would hear I love you from him, and I would immediately have this defense mechanism or that would like protect me in some way. And I knew that this wasn't me. Whenever I would feel a sense of like defense mechanism, or I would feel like anger, or I would say, oh, you do? Well, if you did, then why? And I was like, wait. What is this? What are these thoughts that are showing up? These thoughts that are showing up is the mind. And I've explained this numerous of times, but I'm going to explain it again. The mind is wired for struggle, meaning the mind is wired for solving problems. The mind is wired for, solving problems. So the mind is also like hardware. It's like an old hardware. And when you have awakened, when you are growing, when you're transforming, when you're challenging, When you're growing, when you're loving the way that God has put it in you to love without conditions, when you take down those walls and let's say my trigger was I love you, when I would hear the word I love you from him, there was a part of me that would say up, 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 that there would be that wall that would pop up in my mind that I thought was keeping me protected, but it actually was not. And that was what I was showing up as. And that was the wound. That was the scar that had to come down. And how does that come down? It's like, well, how does it come down if your mind remembers trusting God and listening to your spirit? Because your mind is separate from your spirit, right? Even in the book of the Bible, it talks about being transformed by the renewing of your mind. It talks about walking in the spirit and not in your, if you would walk in the spirit and not fulfill like your, what's that, the lust of the flesh. But really, it's just like when you're walking with God and you're walking in the spirit, in short, you will recognize those temptations. And those temptations, sometimes y'all listen, temptation ain't always like fornication or, you know, y'all know what I'm saying. List all the sins that you've heard in church. Sin isn't, it ain't always that, you know, when we're, you know, sin is missing the mark, right? So I think that if you grew up in church, there was a lot of the popular sins that we, you know, I used to hear across the pulpit. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do that, right? Keep your legs closed. Y'all know the other ones, right? But I mainly heard keep your legs closed, you know, or and that's a whole another topic. But there was a lot of focusing on those things. But what we were missing a lot, y'all, we were missing a lot of the things that weren't talked about was dealing and actuality, they didn't talk about it because they didn't know. They didn't talk about it because they didn't know. I'm going to say it again. They didn't talk about it because they didn't know. When it comes to being connected to yourself, like that wasn't talked about. Dealing with your emotional emotional trauma, your emotional internal stuff that you're carrying, your mental state, like your mind, when it talks about that, when it talks about having negative thoughts and things that will tear you down and you understanding how you can how number one, that those things are normal to have negative thoughts or to have things that consume you, right? But to understand your mind, to understand how to walk through that stuff wasn't talked about over the pulpit because they didn't know, you know? So a lot of times what gets surpassed is like focusing on the top four things of sin. It's like, come on, y'all. What they didn't know is a lot of other stuff was missing. It's just like, even like, you know, save yourself before marriage. It's like, okay, but I need to be connected to my body first. Like it's not, and I get the foundation of where it came from. Oh my God, I get to understand where they came from, but it's what I have learned through my own experiences and really just listening and walking with God and just growing through it. You know what I mean? Like making the mistakes, growing through it, listening, staying connected, you know? But what I understood was I wasn't even really connected with my body like that. You know, it was just more so like understanding, being in tune with my body, loving my body, being in tune with my emotions, being in tune with my mental state. Like our folks didn't know about that stuff. They didn't know about that stuff. They had internal traumas and being disconnected. And it was just a different era around that time. But there was a lot of focus on quote unquote, living right. And I get it. I get it where they were coming from. But there was also a lot of missing holes, a lot of mental illness, emotional instability, dealing with childhood trauma, being okay with being in your body, being okay with resting in your femininity and resting in your masculinity and resting in your feelings and expressing how you feel and not necessarily not having the best day, but being okay with not having the best day and not always pleading the blood or not, you know, it's a level of numbness that I have been taught and it totally misses God and it totally misses a lot of things. Now I know that they taught the best that they could. Oh, absolutely. But I'm so grateful that I went on this journey to unpack that stuff, to really, really unpack that stuff and to really be connected with the self. To really be connected with the self. And that comes with time. That comes with spending time with you and God. That comes with balance. That comes with resting. Oh. That comes with slowing down. I can remember just always doing because I thought that doing meant you were being progressive. And that is not always the answer. You ain't got to always be doing something. Nothing wrong with work. Oh, absolutely not. But I have learned just in this new way of living of the importance of rest. The importance of rest. And I don't just mean physical rest. I really do mean resting in your soul. He leadeth me beside the still waters, the still waters. He leadeth me beside the still waters, beside it. So it's like you're walking with the stillness of life. And when I think about the stillness of water, he leadeth me beside the still waters. And I think of water. When I think of the still waters, it's still, it's serene, it's at peace. And you can live your life with the stream of flow in your life, with the stream of peace in your life, with the stream of rest. He leadeth me beside the still waters and he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All of that is in the Song of Psalms, right? The book of Psalms, when David is talking about this. But this is just a new way of living in stillness, living in peace, walking with God, God being your shepherd, and you lacking nothing, lacking no thing. That takes a level of trust. That takes a level of being still. You can't listen to the flow of God in your life, to the flow of that rhythm if you're always busy. If you're always thinking that you're going to find God in the hustle and the bustle. I mean, God is omnipresent. God is everywhere. But God wants to visit, not only visit, but abide with you. Abide with you, flow with you. That's where your healing changes, y'all. Yes, seek wise counsel. Yes, always seek within. Always ask the questions. I don't believe I wouldn't have gotten here had I asked a gang of questions. Ain't nothing wrong with asking questions. I'm always seeking within and listening within. And just where I am right now, a lot of the busyness and a lot of the hustle and bustle that I did and trying to find the answers was in me being still. Was in me being still. I know I kind of went off topic of talking about I love you, right? I think that is important because it really opened up those cans of worms. You might think like that it's not that you may or may not think that it is a big deal, but all of that matters. Like what you were around, your environment, what you believe unconsciously, all of that stuff you show up in your adult life, good and not so good. And luckily, I was just able to like God just allowed me to see this stuff. Like as an adult in my relationship, God just allowed me to see that God has called me to heal marriages. But I'm doing this with God as God is walking with me. I say this with all humility. I do not say this with all the answers, but I do know that I'm called to share the message of healing. And it ain't about really apologizing for what you did wrong, even though that's good. That's a good start. I think that's cool if that's where you are. What I'm saying is I think that there is something deeper that we haven't delved into. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be angry. That's a part of your emotion. But what I'm saying that there is something deeper that we haven't gotten to that has caused the feeling of anger. Do y'all get what I'm saying? And sitting with oneself, to be connected with oneself, that's where the Spirit of God lives. That's where the presence of God lives. That's where that presence lives. When you're able to understand your mind can be a tool, but it cannot lead your life, especially if you're healing or you're dealing with like, you know, getting over like past hurts. It ain't go heal with your mind. You have to understand how to be, understand that who is the authority over your mind, right? The authority of the presence of God, your sovereign, where, you know, because God is sovereign and that's where God in the presence of God lives within you. When we make ourselves available for it, when we invite the Spirit of God in, when we invite it, it's already living there, but it's like inviting it makes your unconscious awaken, allows you to also step out of that survival mode. It allows you to also step out of always in that blame mode or always in like maybe like an anger mode or always in bitterness. And that is like that survival mode that I have lived under for so many years. And I've allowed my mind to lead me when that was my struggle. That was my belief. That was my environment. And y'all, the psychology behind this stuff is so good to understand. And it's necessary to dive and unpack that stuff, y'all. It's so good. It's so necessary to dive and unpack that stuff. Because here's what I am also seeing in marriages is that you love each other. Now, this is not for everyone, but I'm not here to speak for everyone. I'm just here to share the message what God is sharing with me. Okay. And sometimes in marriages, when you're saying, I love you, that friction or disconnection or anger or what you're fighting against is really not each other. It's the internal stuff, right? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. You're wrestling against the wounds, right? And how do we unpack that? We unpack that by turning the mirror within ourselves. Uh-oh. You unpack that by turning the mirror within yourself, allowing the Spirit of God to speak to you concerning you. And yeah, but wait a minute, but what about him? Wait a minute, what about her? No. How you unpack that is turning the mirror within you, asking the questions about you, how you are showing up. And I know that's a hard pill to swallow, especially when you think you're right in the game, or especially when you think you're the better spouse, or especially when you think your background is better than theirs, or especially when you think that you love better, or you're the better quote-unquote communicator, when you think you are better or they're inferior and you're superior. There's nothing wrong with acknowledging certain truths or certain characteristics that you have that are better than your spouse. There's nothing wrong with that. What I mean by that is coming from the standpoint of dogma or judgment. And I know that I have done that. Ain't no shame in my game. None. I have been judgmental. I have been prideful. I have thought that I had the better solution. I, until I recognized that I was all wrong. You live, you learn, you grow through it. You live, you learn, and you grow through it. And God just reveals more of who you are and who you are not. Day by day. And I'm just so grateful for God. I'm grateful for the Holy Spirit. I'm grateful that I've awakened to share this message with y'all. This message of healing marriages, because that's really how it starts. That's really how it starts. It starts with you. It starts with you. I do one-on-one coaching. If you guys want to contact me, once again, cammynight.org, or you can reach me on any of the platforms, Facebook or Instagram, and I'll be on there. But y'all, listen, that's all I wanted to share. I really feel very fulfilled and very, I feel so much joy in my soul to share this message with you. I'm very grateful. Thank you for allowing me to have to spend this time with you. Until next time, I would love to hear from you. But until next time, y'all, man, we got this. Wherever you are in your life, I'm just going to pray really quick because I feel led. But wherever you are on your journey, God is with you. I have been, oh man, I have been in this journey. And what I mean by that is I've been, and there has been so many textures and so many different valleys and experiences and emotions and breakthroughs and hurts and feelings of betrayals and feelings of pain, and also even through that, feeling such just amazing, in-depth, everlasting true love that I have in within me, within my marriage and for him, you know, and that's just it. And God has called me to share this message, and I have made myself available to share and bring all that I am and to allow God to speak through me. Thank you for listening. That's all I got, y'all. Oh, I said I was going to pray. Forgot that fast. So I have people on here that are coming on here listening for the first time. And I want to welcome you and I want to thank you. I want to thank you for taking the courage to listen. I want to thank you for taking the journey to want to understand and grow and just become better. That your life will be better, that whatever God spoke to you, concerning your marriage, that it will come to pass. I'm a testament in believing that to be true, that you do not have to be perfect. All you need to be is willing. You do not have to be perfect. I stand here not perfect at all, but I also stand here willing. And I know that the call that God has on my life, it is none of my doing, but it's all in just me leaning into God's truth for my life and for my legacy and what God has placed in me to share. And I'm just grateful, beyond grateful, to share my heart with you, to share God's message of love with you, to help you unpack those things, y'all. It's so possible. I pray for the men. If you're listening, the husbands that are listening, I pray for you. My heart goes out to you. I send, just more love, extended arms to you. If your wife is mad with you, I extend as if it is her arms, because she truly does love you. She truly does love you. She's probably just battling with, things that she oftentimes doesn't know how to deal with. I don't know what her situation is or why she's angry or why she's battling with what she's battling with. But I do know that the presence of God is real. I do know that God speaks to us individually. I do know that we cannot change anyone And but God, you don't even make us change, but you always present the opportunity within our lives over and over again to bring about your truth in our lives, your best for our lives. So I speak over the men, your heart that has been ignored. I speak over your mind and your spirit and your soul. I speak over the women who have felt misunderstood or betrayed, or the men who have felt betrayed or misunderstood. I pray for unity. I pray for tranquility. I pray for everything that God desires in your life. And I pray that it will be manifest and brought forth in your life in this day and lifetime. I thank you for marriages. I think that you are calling healing, restoration, reconciliation, that we will abide with you and see you in ways that we've never seen you, and that your spirit will speak of truth, and that your love will replenish the earth. But it starts with us. And so I thank you. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your divine love. Thank you for sending me, God, as a vessel to help guide people into the paths of truth, to help guide marriages, to help God healing the matters of the heart, to help people unpack these things, God. It can be difficult. It can be difficult because some of us have not been shown this. We ain't been taught this. We don't know nothing. But in actuality, God, you've given us, in truth, you've given us an inner knower within all of us. We've just forgotten. Somehow along the way, we've forgotten. But I thank you that I have awakened, that you've allowed me, you've created the path for me to awaken for such a time as this. Thank you for using me as a vessel. Thank you for the call of my life to help folks heal. I believe it's possible, because there was a time when I didn't think it was possible, even in my spirit, when I knew what you said and I knew what you spoke over me. I was like, how in the hell am I going to get through this? But I thank you that you walked me through it, and you've shown me so much revelations concerning healing marriages, concerning healing the matters of the heart. I'm just grateful and I'm thankful. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, that you walk with your people. And y'all, I got so much in store for you. That's all I want to say. I've ended the prayer. Thank you guys for tuning in. Once again, you can write me. And that's it, y'all. You have any questions? I'm here. Once again, I'm going to mention one more time, I do one-on-one coaching, to help you unpack, like I said, I help women and heal the matters of their heart. I also help men as well, but I help individuals who are married, and I also help individuals who want to really heal the matters of their heart. Because sometimes your spouse can be like on lock, and you might have things blocked within yourself that is not caused that unity to come together, or whatever God wants to show you. I have been guided in my own personal life to unpack the things within my life, and I've also been able to help other people unpack the things within your life. Now, I am not a wizard. I cannot wave a magic wand, but however, I do have the ability and the gifting and calling to help folks unpack the matters of their heart, which has the ability to heal their marriage. So I'm walking with this by faith, y'all, and I believe, and I have just seen the evidence of me just walking with God and believing. Thank you for letting me share this with you. I've done extensive research on this, y'all. I live and breathe this. I've tried to run from this. I've tried to do other ideas, but God has called me to this, and I see it more and more. We need healing in the earth, and it starts with you. It starts with love. I'm just a messenger to share the message of healing marriages and healing the matters of your heart. Thank you for listening to me. Bye.